Past midnight, right? Oh my goodness. Gay was up till past midnight, right? Oh, way longer than that. She went to the Casting Crowns. Is it concert? Yeah, Tri-Cities. So you guys can debate who's the tiredest. So, well, we're here to worship the Lord. And no matter how many of us are gathered, whether it's 2, 3, 50, 100, really doesn't matter, because it's about our hearts. It's about the condition of our hearts. And so let's just prepare our hearts. Father, we come before your throne of grace today, Lord, and we know that before your throne of grace, we can help find help in time of need. And Lord, right now, God, we have needs in our lives that some of us don't even realize. Lord, there's things going on, Lord, maybe in the heavenlies, God, that we need you to work on our behalf. So we submit our hearts, we submit our lives, we submit everything that we are into your capable, worthy hands, Lord. And we ask right now, God, that you would just allow us to enter into, Lord, a focused time of worship, a focused time of seeking you, Lord. Father, I ask right now, Lord, that we would come to a greater revelation of who you are and who you are in us. Lord, that the scales of our eyes, God, would be peeled back even more. Lord, that the doors to our hearts would open up wider to you today. God, and that because, Lord, we have gathered, Lord, together in your name, Lord, you are here, Lord, in our midst, God. Not just in our midst, Lord, but you're in us, Lord. You keep a habitation in us 24/7. And so, Lord, we acknowledge the presence of God right now in each and every one of us. And we ask, Lord, that as we come together, God, that there would be an expression of your presence that would manifest in our midst. We just bless your name. We bless you, Lord Jesus. We just ask that you would allow, Lord, your perfect will, your plans and your purposes, your desires for this service to be fulfilled in this place today, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want to let anyone know, we don't actually take an offering here. We just receive it in our chest. And you can do also an offering in the back if you'd like to. So if you want to stand, you can. We're just going to worship the Lord. It is canned worship, so it's a little unusual for some. But if you open your heart, you will receive. We just thank you for Jesus and the love that was displayed, Lord, when he laid down his life for us, and the life that was received from you when he was resurrected. We just thank you that he is alive. He is alive. And he's not only alive in heaven, but he's alive in us today. He's alive and well in our lives today. We thank you, Lord, that we can receive eternal, resurrected life, Lord, by receiving you into our hearts. And Lord, we just ask that if there's anything in our lives that's stopping that full work of the resurrection power of the cross, the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit, you would just do your work in us, Lord, to remove it. Any stumbling block, any hindrance. And Lord, help assure our hearts that we have full access before you. We can come boldly before the throne of grace. We just bless your name right now, Lord. We bless the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your presence that's here right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Does anyone have anything on their heart? Maybe the Lord's been dealing with you about something this morning, or maybe even prior to the service. No? Well, praise the Lord. Well, hallelujah. Jesse, you did a great job switching back and forth, wearing two hats. Oh, there you go. I wonder if that's why they've got it turned that way too, that their sound guy. Yeah. You ready?
Yeah, are you going to announce about the person?
16th? Oh, yes. On the 16th of October will be when we'll be going to Emerald Care. That's at 3 p.m. Emerald Care's in Wapato. It's a nursing home that James and Stephanie Williams both work at. And over the last year, they've developed a ministry to the elderly there, the shut-ins. And I think they're baptizing three more. That's going to make like nine now that have been baptized. He just wrings out some water on them because dunking them might be like their last. So we're going to go ahead and move. Well, if they were dunked, you know, some... So I don't have any overheads today, but Gay has something that the Lord put on her heart, so we're just going to kind of tag team it, right? And I'll let you roll out of the gate.
Hi, guys. So this week, the Lord has been dealing with me, and boy, just how to start, because I don't want to be out of what he wants me to do. So this may sound like, when I say to you what we're going to talk about, this may sound to you like it's kid stuff, but truly it is not. The book of Jonah is four chapters long. That's it. You can read it in less than 30 minutes. But in it, we've always looked at Jonah being a story about Jonah and a whale. But in essence, this book is about God, about the sovereignty of God and the grace of God. If you have your Bibles and you want to turn to Jonah, we're going to start in the first chapter, and I'm going to read quite a bit of it as soon as I find it.
It's in your Bible.
Yeah, it is in my Bible, babe. You're right. I'm going to be reading from the NCV, similar to NLT and all that, but I really like the way that it reads.
New Century Version.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And it says, I just want to, just Jonah 1:1. The Lord spoke his word to Jonah, son of Amare.
Sounds good.
Okay. Now, Jonah wasn't just a normal Joe Schmo on the street. He wasn't just a guy that was living his life until the life ended. He was actually a prophet of God. So Jonah had some sense of familiarity. That's a hard word for me to say anyway.
You did great.
He had some sense of the familiar with God because he was a prophet of God. And so I want you guys to keep that in mind as we go further, because God is asking Jonah to do some things that at the end of it, it looks like more than the people that God wanted to turn to him. I mean, it was like this was a revival almost in the book of Jonah, what happens. But not just that, but what I love about it is that God not only saves people that are lost in this book, he also helps those that are his get reacquainted in a really weird way. They say this is the weirdest story in the Bible. So I'm just going to go with that. Okay. Verse 2. Get up, go to the city of Nineveh and preach against it, because I see the evil they are doing. But Jonah got up and ran away from the Lord by going to Tarshish. He went to the city of Joppa, where he found a ship that was going to the city of Tarshish. Jonah paid the trip and went aboard, planning to go to Tarshish to run away from the Lord. But the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, which made the sea so stormy that the ship was in danger of breaking apart. And the sailors were afraid, and each man cried out to his own God. Okay, so this tells you that this is a people that don't believe in the God of Israel.
Jehovah.
Exactly, Jehovah. These guys, they had it, you know, it sounds like they were from a mixed crew of different gods. So it said each one cried out to his God. They began throwing cargo from the ship into the sea to make the ship lighter. But Jonah had gone down far inside the ship to lie down, and he fell asleep. Now, this was a big storm, and this ship was blowing this. I mean, the ship was being blown by this storm really hard. Have any of y'all fell asleep in the middle of a regular storm? I have. I remember when I was about, I want to say 12 or 13 years old. We were in Florida, and my dad's family is from Florida. And we were traveling from one auntie's house back to my grandparents' house, because they were our central hub where we were staying and visiting, because we lived in California. And so we were traveling back one night, and it was a couple hour drive, I think. An electrical storm started. Has anybody ever been in an electrical storm besides me? No? You have? It's scary, because flashes of lightning are actually coming down and hitting right in front of your car. And it's really close. It's really scary. The rubber from your tires is what keeps you safe, actually. So you want to always stay. If you get in an electrical storm, don't get out of the car. But I was 12, 13, and I'm thinking to myself, man, that is really scaring me to death. Like, I don't like it. And we had a Ford F-250 green, olive green, with a caveman camper on the back. And us girls, because just three of us girls went on the trip to Florida, were laid up on this bed up at the top, you know, where the big bed is up on top. But we laid like this, like sardines in a can, you know, to watch the road and to, you know, to see stuff coming. Well, I got too much of a picture, because the lightning was just striking right there and scared the liver right out of me. So I got down and went to the back, which was really not a smart thing to do, because it's really, really swaying in the back a lot. But I wrapped myself around the table, and I just prayed, oh God, please get us through this. Oh God, please get us through this. I'm really afraid. Get us through this, God. And I fell asleep. I fell asleep in this storm. I don't know. I don't know if I did it because I was so frightened that I just had to just sleep through it in order to get to the end of it and, you know, be safe. I don't know how I ended up falling asleep. I honestly do not know, because our camper was almost as bad as this ship. I mean, it was just everywhere. And so here's Jonah, and this ship is tossing all around, and he's asleep down in the belly of this ship. And you're like, my sisters looked at me so funny, like, how did you fall asleep? You know? But Jonah was sleeping down in the very bowels of the boat.
Fast asleep.
Like, it wasn't... Like
deep sleep. Yeah.
I can appreciate that. Yeah, he was gone. And so when they're throwing all this cargo over, the captain of the ship came to Jonah in verse 6, and he says, why are you sleeping? Get up and pray to your God. So he knows already Jonah has some God in his life. Maybe your God will pay attention to us and we won't die. Because apparently their gods had not heard the message yet. So maybe Jonah's will work. See what they're doing? And the men said to each other, let's throw lots to see who caused the troubles for this to happen to us. When they threw lots, the lot showed that the trouble happened because of Jonah. Then they said to him, tell us, who caused our trouble? What is your job? Where do you come from? What is your country? Who are your people? Like, they covered every base they could cover and more. And this is what Jonah says. Then Jonah said to them, I am a Hebrew. I am a believer, is what he's saying. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. The men were very afraid, and they asked Jonah, what terrible thing did you do? Dude, what did you do that made God so mad? They knew that he was running away from God because he had told them. Since the wind and the waves of the sea were becoming much stronger, they said to him, what should we do to you to make this sea calm down for us? You know, what do we do? You tell us. And Jonah said to them, pick me up and throw me into the sea, and then it will calm down. I know it's my fault that this great storm has come on you. And instead, because the men are still trying out, their gods didn't work, and they're not so sure they want to throw Jonah overboard because they don't want the blood on their hands, right? So instead of listening to Jonah at that point and throwing him overboard, they start rowing for shore thinking that's going to work. And God sends an even greater storm to them saying, you're not getting out of it until Jonah's over the edge. Pretty much. That's pretty much what he said. So the men cried. Now, get this. I love God so much because look what he does. So the men cried to the Lord. The men that had other gods cried to the Lord and said, Lord, please don't let us die because of this man's life. Please don't think we're guilty of killing an innocent person. Lord, you have caused all this to happen. You wanted it this way. So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea became calm. Then they began to fear the Lord. Now, it's not fear like, scared. It's not the kind of fear that's talking about. That fear there is that they've just seen the awesomeness of God. They've just seen him play his hand to save them and maybe kill Jonah. Oops. But they've seen his awesomeness and they believed. They feared him. They were in awe of him. So they began to pray to him. What have you seen? Is it enough to convince you God is real? Are you looking in the right place? Just questions. Okay, so then they began to fear the Lord very much. They offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made promises to him. So they believed. So this was the extra people that believed because of Jonah that, you know, God originally hadn't even planned on. Had he not got on the ship and gone on the opposite way, these men would still be each one praying to their own God, right? Okay. So let me finish 17. The Lord caused a big fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. It is not the Hilton. It is nasty, stanky. It's really bad in there. And actually, I was reading a commentary, and they said that when Jonah came out, because he had been in the belly of the whale, or whatever kind of fish it was, for three whole days and three whole nights, that when he came out, the gastric juices from this whale had actually bleached him.
He was being digested.
His hair had turned white, his skin had turned really white, his clothes was completely bleached. So he just was this white guy. He went in not white, but he came out white because of the gastric juices, I guess. That's what some say. But so do you have anything for...
I was just going to share in this verse 17, I think it's interesting to note that now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. Mm-hmm. That God was not just letting his prophet, you know, just go into the whatever might happen. He had prepared this fish. He knew what he was doing, and this fish.
And he
fish,
knew what Jonah was going to do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And what the sailors were going to do.
What's so amazing to me is we were talking about this. I can't remember who we were talking to. But God's plan A for us, sometimes we don't do it. And then we go on our own way and we do a plan B. But God can change that plan B back into plan A. Not that it's going to be the same circumstance or situations. But this can become the new plan A.
It is the new plan A.
Yes, but we have hope that it can become, and it will become the new plan A. Like, God will make that who you are. I just feel really led that I need to share something about us. Like, the two of us were previously married, and both our spouses left us for other people, left us with our kids. And God brought us together. His plan A for our lives, man messed with, and now we became the new plan A. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And he blessed it. And he can, and he will bless it.
No, that's good.
Okay. So I'm going to skip over chapter 2 because I don't want to talk about the fish. I want to talk about God calling out to Jonah and Jonah's obedience in response to God. The Lord spoke his word to Jonah again and said, okay, now this is just after the fish. He didn't just vomit him out. He didn't just spew him, like burp him out. He vomited him out all the way onto the shore. Like he probably flew through the air with the greatest of ease. Like he hit land when he came out. So this is just right after. The Lord spoke his word to Jonah again and said, get up. Now, I don't know about you, but that whale was Jonah's trial. And I don't always feel like getting up right away. Do you?
Not always.
And what's so amazing to me about this is that I can almost see God saying, I gave you a chance already. Now we're going to do it my way, dude. You know what I mean? Get up. You can do it. Man up. Let's go. You know, he's telling him, get up. Go to the great city Nineveh and preach to it, and I will tell you what, what to say. So Jonah obeyed the Lord finally and got up and went to Nineveh, which was a very large city. Just a walk across it took a person 3 days. So that's how big Nineveh was.
Probably 60 square miles is what they're thinking.
It was huge. And it was actually the epicenter of the Assyrians, right?
Assyrians.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was the epicenter. So this was the big capital, cosmopolitan, as cosmopolitan as you can get back then. but this was the big place. And so if it took a man 3 days to walk across, that tells you how big it was. And so after Jonah had entered the city and walked for 1 day, so you can almost say he made it to the middle, of Nineveh. He walked 1 day. He preached to the people, and this is what he said. You guys ready for this sermon? After 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. End of story.
Kept it sweet and to the point.
7 words.
Yeah.
7 words. God only needs 1 word. But he used 7 to make his plan clear. But he only needs 1 for us. Stop or go or get up. Giddy up. Oh, see, I can make that into 1 word. But you understand what I'm saying? He only needs 1 word, but he spoke, told him to only say 7 words or however many back then the language was. But the people of Nineveh, hearing that, just hearing that, they believed in God. Like, now, so I read somewhere that there was 120,000 people in Nineveh. And as you read through, the king even takes off his robes. And they all fast, even the animals, for 3 days. 3 days?
Sackcloth and ashes.
Yeah. I'm trying to make sure that I said, if I don't remember if it's 3 days or what. But the king of Nineveh, 6, verse 6, heard this news. He got up from his throne, took off his robe, and covered himself with rough cloth, and sat in ashes to show how upset he was. Then he sent this announcement through Nineveh. By command of the king and his important men, no person or animal, herd or flock will be allowed to taste anything. Do not let them eat food or drink water, but every person and animal should be covered with rough cloth, and the people should cry loudly to God. Everyone must turn away from the evil living and stop doing harm at all, doing harm all the time. Who knows? Maybe God will change his mind. Maybe he will stop being angry, and then we will not die. Their very lives were depending on it, It doesn't say how long they fasted, does it?
No, but it got the job done.
I guess it did.
Can I go ahead? You notice, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. keep in mind that this was a prophet who had just spent 3 days in the belly of a fish. And most people think it was a well, because that would probably be the type of fish that could actually hold a man in there and not kill him. But when he said that, he was like probably completely white, bleached. So he was assigned to them as well as this saying. Mm-hmm. And I think Jonah wanted to keep it as short as he could and not elaborate, hoping that they weren't going to repent.
Right. So he could get out of there, mm-hmm. get out of Dodge. Like he could deliver the message and get out. When God saw what the people did, that they stopped doing evil, he changed his mind and did not do what he had warned. He did not punish them. Now, I want you to hear this next. It's chapter 4, verse 1. But this made Jonah very unhappy. Because Jonah had no out. He couldn't leave. He knew that the people were coming to God, and he knew that there was going to be revival. And he knew that because God changed his mind, he was stuck in Nineveh, an unbelieving place.
And he also wanted to see what God was going to do with them.
Mm-hmm. But this made Jonah very unhappy, and he became angry. Well, who do you think he became angry against? He was mad at God. Still. After the belly of the whale episode, he was still mad at God. He didn't learn very easily, did he?
He was a prophet with attitude.
He sure was. My goodness. Okay, so he prayed to the Lord, when I was still in my own country, this is what I said would happen, and that is why I said, and that is, wait a second, and that is why I quickly ran to Tarshish. I knew that you are a God who is kind and shows mercy. You don't become angry quickly, and you have great love. I knew you would choose not to cause harm. So now I ask you, Lord, please kill me. It's better for me to die than to live. Okay. I'm pretty sure him being able to pray to God, number one, and not be in the belly of a whale is better than being in the belly of a whale and praying, because that's what he did in the belly. But now that he's out and his memory lapse has come back to him, he is mad at God and he is telling God, I knew you would do this. I told you you'd do this when I was back there. And you, what did you do? You did it. You forgave. Now this is a prophet of God, you guys. This is someone that knows God. And this is the word that the Lord gave me. Familiarity breeds contempt. That's a biblical truth that is kind of woven throughout the scriptures. But if we become so familiar with God that he means nothing to us, and we can berate him like Jonah has done, what is that? I mean, you know?
Pretty contemptible.
It is. And 2 weeks ago, I got a little bit excited in church, and we were talking and stuff, and I said some really hard things, but they weren't harsh. They were just things that, I mean, I was in the spirit, and I said them. But I meant them, and I know that God can use any word that he gives to go out, and that it won't return void. But he is calling us, you guys, to relationship with him. That's the very first thing. Then if things happen and he wants you to go to Nineveh, or he wants you to go to, you know, a neighbor or the other side of Yakima and feed the hungry or whatever it is God's calling you to, if you're so familiar with God and you're too comfortable with him, you're going to have an attitude like Jonah did. And here are people in the boat and in Nineveh, they weren't even his. They had never committed their hearts to God. They had never acknowledged him as the God of Israel until. And when they did, it's like, Jonah, why aren't you happy about that? Shouldn't you just be thrilled that all these people are believing in me? So the Lord said, do you think it's right for you to be angry? God's so gracious.
Instead of saying, you want me to squash you like a bug?
Exactly. Send a bolt of lightning down. bye-bye, Jonah. I mean, he could do anything he wanted, but he is so gracious.
Everything Jonah just said about him is truthful, and that's what God's being with Jonah, is merciful.
Exactly.
And graceful.
Jonah went out and sat down east of the city. There he made a shelter for himself and sat in the shade waiting to see what would happen to the city. So he took himself a little bit away. The Lord made a plant grow quickly up over Jonah, which gave him shade and helped him to be more comfortable. And Jonah was very pleased to have that plant. But the next day, when the sun rose, God sent a worm to attack the plant and it died. Okay, so if you're not going to get a clue, Jonah, by being in the ship and throw overboard ship, it all gets calm and you get swallowed by a big fish, you don't listen to that, then you come to Nineveh and these people are listening now, seven words, and they come to you, come to me, God, that's not going to get you. Maybe this dying plant that's been eaten by a worm, you'll finally understand. Do you see what I mean? I mean, God has given him every opportunity. You guys, he's giving us every opportunity. He really is. And are we using it? Are we using the opportunity he gives us to do what he wants us to do? Even just if it's just believe. Like if there's somebody out there and they can't decide if they even really want to believe in God, maybe that's all you need to get done right now. All Jonah needed to do was go to Nineveh, but he made a bypass trip that caused him to change appearance and everything in order to still get there. He was in A and had to go to B, but he took this great big trip around. He still ended up in B if he had taken the straight shot.
And his clothes probably wouldn't have been bleached. I do want to say this about the plant. Jonah started becoming very, very angry and upset and almost hurt over this plant dying. Mm-hmm. And the Lord says to him, you have pity on the plant for which you have not labored, nor made it grow, which came up in the night and perished in the night. And should I not pity Nineveh, the great city in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between the right hand and their left, and much livestock? In other words, basically, they don't know any better.
Right.
You brought someone a message who really didn't know. They didn't know what they were doing, and once they heard, their hearts changed.
Exactly.
In a way, Nineveh was more righteous than Jonah.
Jonah. That's a scary thought. At the beginning of this week, I think this is probably why the Lord put this on my heart. We went to the services of a really good friend of ours. And we've known him for over 20 years, and he was only 62, and he died of a massive heart attack in his vehicle. And I talked to his wife the day that he passed and told her how much we loved her, and we were thinking if there's anything we could do, you know, all of that. And she said, no, everything's good. She said the priest came after he had already passed and prayed over him. And I'm not saying anything about the Catholic belief. Honestly, I'm not. But I'm thinking to myself, oh, dear Lord, did he believe in you? You know, that's what I thought. And I knew that I could not go back over 20 years to see every opportunity that the Lord gave us to speak to him. I'm just as bad as Jonah. Because I know he did. I know God gave us opportunity. And I didn't share. I mean, he knew that we were pastors of a church. He knew that we loved God. He knew all of this stuff. But did he know God? I'm no better than Jonah. And God says, there's still time, sweetie. You're still learning. It's okay. Because the graciousness that he shows Jonah, he shows me. And you.
Yeah, you can't take back those years that you coulda, shoulda, woulda. Mm-hmm. But you can learn and you can change, you know, what you'll do in the future. And, you know, did we say 7 words during our life? You know, sometimes our actions can speak louder than words. But was there enough coming out verbally that would give someone an opportunity to say, oh, God wants my heart. God wants my life. God wants me to quit doing these things. Not that you preach at people. You share the love of God with people. You let them know there's an opportunity for something else in life. So that's why you were thinking of Jonah. Mm-hmm. I wondered, where'd she get this?
God will use anything to get our attention. And I've talked to several people this week, and how we are a people of excuses. And I've always told my children, I've said to them, when you stand before God and his throne, and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, just like Nineveh, that he is Lord. When you're at that throne, you will have no one over your shoulder to point to about why you didn't do what God asked you to do. You have no one to blame. You will be the only one standing before the Lord at that time. You have to account for what you did. We will have to account for if we did or didn't speak to our friend. We will have, it'll be me. I won't have anybody over my shoulder to point to. So with that in mind, maybe you can see why God had put Jonah on my heart so much. And it only took that one little phrase. Familiarity breeds contempt. I do not want to be contemptful of my God.
And that limits the power of God. I was telling her that Jesus, when he went to his own hometown, and this is after he raised a boy who was, or a young man who was dead several days, the funeral procession was coming by. He spoke life to that young man, and he got up and gave the young man back to his mother. You know, he had healed lepers. I mean, you know, Jesus had a very powerful ministry going on, yet when he went to his own hometown, he couldn't do one thing. You know, he wasn't able to heal a few who had, like, sounds like almost like colds. It wasn't much. And why? Because they thought that they know who he was, that he was the son of Mary and Joseph, right, that he was a carpenter's boy, and that he's not Messiah.
What can carpenter boy do for me?
Yeah. And so that same attitude is kind of what Jonah had. In the New King James, it says that Jonah was running from the presence of the Lord. He thought if he could get out of Jerusalem, get away from where God resides, I'll be okay. He learned that you can't run from God. He's right there with you. He can't run from the presence of the Lord. The Lord was, and we can never run from the presence of the Lord. And I don't think we can even be without the presence of the Lord. He's there all the time. Even before you knew him. And if you don't know him, he's right here, right now. He's in you and through you. It's just a matter, do you know that he's in you and through you? And do you know that he wants to have his full abode in you, to the place where he lives through you in a way that you are not your own? You're his. Amen?
As my husband said, last night I went down to Tri-Cities and saw Casting Crowns in concert, and I was so very impressed, and this is why. It wasn't a concert. It was about ministry. Like, he and they took every opportunity to speak out and minister out, and at one point he shared that 2 years ago, cancer visited their house, is what he said, which means that it can also unvisit. And he was diagnosed with a tumor, cancerous tumor on his kidney. And they had to take the whole thing out, all of it out. And he said, the way I used to do these concerts was, you know, come and play all the great songs and you guys yell and scream and have a great time. But it's not about that. It's about me telling you how good God is and telling you that he is with you, telling you that if you don't know him, you can. And I mean, right then he gave the salvation message and prayed out loud, and anybody could join in that wanted to. And it's just, it was so amazing because he was not going to waste any opportunity after having suffered through cancer. He wasn't going to waste any opportunity. It's like God almost, he said, God almost gave me a seal of approval that I could say anything I want to when I got my microphone in my hand. And you guys will hear the word of the Lord and you will hear about my God. And that was something Jonah was kind of afraid of. He was afraid of man's reaction. And that can harm us. That can hurt us because we're so afraid what others will think. If we by chance hear from God and he says, do this or do that. Oh boy, they're just, you know, they're just holier than thou, or they're, you know, ultra spiritual, or, well, you know what? No, that's not what it's about at all. You either are going to hear the voice of God or you're not. You're going to heed the voice of God or ignore. And God says this morning, heed my voice. I am the shepherd. You are my sheep. You hear my voice and you know it.
Amen. Well, Father, we just ask right now, Lord, if there's anything in our lives, Lord, that would be similar to Jonah, any thinking that we may be going through, any thought processes that would be similar to Jonah's, that we're running from your presence, or that we're avoiding doing what you're asking us to do, Lord, that you would just bring your change to our hearts. Lord, that you would bring our change to our minds. Lord, that it would not take a circumstance similar to Jonah being in the belly of the well, Lord, to finally have us cry out and say, okay, I'll do it. But Lord, that we would be willing and yielded vessels. Lord, that we could be those vessels of honor, Lord, that bring you glory. Lord, you said in your word that the people of Jesus' time would, they wanted a sign, and they said that the only sign that they would see was the sign of Jonah. That you were going to spend 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And God, that, Lord, time when you came out, Lord, that would be the resurrection life and power that then we could receive. Lord, I pray that we would be a sign, Lord, to our family members and our workplace and those that we love and have friendships with, Lord, that we would be a sign, Lord, but not just a sign, Lord, that we would also have your words, Lord, near us, that we could speak them, Lord, and we could speak words of life and words of truth and words of the love of God. And Father, right now, if there's any of us, Lord, who feel away from you or distant, or who don't even know you at all, Lord, I pray that you would just allow their hearts to open up and receive you, Lord Jesus, as Savior. That they would confess, Lord, with their mouth and believe in their hearts, and they would receive the life that's awaiting them. I thank you, Lord, that you are on our side. You are for us. You're not against us. That you are merciful and good and just and true, all those things that Jonah said about you. Let those realities of who you are come fully evident in our lives as believers. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So I know I asked at the beginning, does anybody have anything else that they want to share about that? Maybe while we were sharing, the Lord put something on your heart that will be good to encourage all of us. Thank you, Rose.
reminded me when I hadn't been saved that very long, and Alvin and I went out, and we were buying a mattress for our pastor because it was their anniversary for so many years in being pastors. We went down to this place, and we're talking to this one gentleman, and he was the one selling us the mattress. And Alvin's very life magnifies the Lord. If you know Alvin at all, everything that she is and does. And she was talking, and I don't know how we ended up talking about Jesus, but she asked him, she said, "Do you know Jesus?" And he's like, "Oh yes, I go to church, I'm religious." And she looked at him and she said, "I didn't ask you if you were religious. I asked you if you had a relationship with Jesus. Because there's a big difference. You can go to church all day long and not know my Savior." It's not exact words, but I mean, it's her heart. And the Lord showed me, even at that point, I mean, he showed me so much through her walk with God. But changing just going to church, because as I say, I was pretty new at that point. And I was developing my relationship, but even more so then. But that's how being afraid, maybe, not to say something, but overcoming that fear and just pointing them to our Lord. He's so amazing. And it's just, we got to battle through it, because everything, for 47 years, I didn't serve the Lord at all. And so I remember thinking that about Christians. So once I got saved, the enemies always tell me, "You shouldn't say something. You know, what are they going to think about you?" Well, hopefully one day they will think about me when they're going through a storm. They might not like me right now. But I've had a son who hasn't talked to me for years. And now he's in a storm. And guess what? He called the other day because he knows who to call. And that's somebody that is magnifying Jesus. So be okay if they're not nice right now. And just know that when it's time, that they're going to. Anyway, God bless you.
Amen. That's good. Nobody else? All right. Well, praise the Lord. It's going to be a cloudy day outside, it looks like, but it can be sunny in your hearts, right?
Fall has fallen, and I love it.
I know. I'm wearing my sweater today. That's the sign. And it was the first Sunday in October. Did you notice that, Jesse? I was wearing my sweater. Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, the leaves turn a certain color and my sweater goes on. So I usually wear sweaters every Sunday until spring. So once you see the, I'm like the groundhog. When you see the short sleeves, you know we're good again. So God bless you all. Love you. Have a great day.